Ladies and gentlemen, if I can have your attention, please. Our speaker today is Charles LaPierre from Sendero Group, and he's going to tell us about important developments in the area of wayfinding and GPS. So I'll turn the time here over to Charles.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for inviting me. Okay, my name is, as was said, Charles LaPierre. I'm the Chief Technical Officer and co-founder of Sendero Group, and I'm also the Senior Software Engineer at Benetech, a.k.a. Bookshare.org. So, and previously to that, I worked at Arkenstone and worked on the Open Book Project. So, definitely have a lot of different experiences in this market. First, I want to just give you an agenda of what I'm going to be talking about. I'm going to be explaining location literacy, and then I'm going to explain what GPS is and how it relates to the Braille Note and future projects, that Sendero Group is working on. And at the end of my talk, I'm going to have a demonstration of one of these future projects that we're working with. Location information has been pretty much, for the blind and visually impaired community, you've been shut out of location information. You had to rely on other sighted people to give you that information of where you were, what streets you're standing on, what restaurants are nearby. Pretty much you were, you know, in the back seat of a taxi and didn't have any idea of where the taxi was taking you, you know, and this is exactly the problem, and that what we at Sendero Group are trying to give you this information, this location information, just like you had access to books through vinyl, books on vinyl, books on tape, talking computers. Now it's the technology is here and advanced enough that we can give you this information for location information. Now, GPS is a system of satellites designed by the military, and GPS receivers are used throughout the world for a lot of different applications for the military as well as consumer products. You now have GPS in your cars now that'll help you and guide you to your destinations. Now, these are not the most accessible products in the market, and that's what we're trying to do here. I'll just explain. A lot of you, I'm not sure how many people know, by show of hands, what GPS is. Wow, quite a few. And how many know the exact technical details of how it works? One, two, three. A few of you. Okay. A lot of people just say, okay, these satellites transmits your location to a receiver. That's not quite exactly how it works. A GPS receiver will pick up these pseudo-random codes sent by satellites, and using triangulation and a map of the Earth will actually pinpoint your location on the Earth. But these maps of Earth, there's a lot of different maps of the Earth, a lot of different cartographic designers and geologists have created their own versions of these of the map of the Earth. The one that is the most widely adopted is WGS-84, and that's a specific datum of the model of the Earth, and that's what we're using. Now, in GPS, the history of GPS was turned on, but it was only around 300 feet accurate, okay, because the military put on selective availability and basically fuzzed out, you know, made it fuzzy of your location. Then companies created differential GPS that you would subscribe to, you'd pay a subscription fee, and you'd get your accuracy down to a few feet. It was incredible, and that's what we did in the early days to actually walk around. Now, the government finally turned off selective availability, so you get around less than 30 feet, usually around 20 feet accuracy without differential, and a lot of these companies went out of business. AccuPoint and DCI, all these differential companies have gone out of business, and so now what's left is GPS with around 20 to 30 feet accuracy. Just recently, there's now a system called WAAS, W-A-A-S, for Wide Area Augmented System or something like that. And that system will bring down the accuracy from the 20 to 30 feet range down to less than 10 feet range, and that's when it gets exciting. But you need specific GPS receivers to do that, and a lot of receivers nowadays have WAAS enabled, and that's available in the United States, and there's also EGNOS for Europe as well. But WAAS, we actually were able to pick up some signals when we were in Europe. 12 years ago is when I first started this whole project. I'm a Canadian. I went to school at Carleton University in Ontario, and there for my fourth year project, I invented the first ever GPS navigation system for the blind. And this was on a laptop computer that I had to carry with me, a laptop computer, a GPS receiver the size of like a CD player, a portable CD player, and an antenna that looked like, oh boy, it was a big, huge mushroom that you'd fit your both hands around, okay? And it had a pole going up the back of my back so that I can read the signals from the satellites, okay? I had a differential antenna as well that I had to carry, this 13-inch whip antenna for the differential GPS. And then, because... Oh, yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't want to carry this. And I also had to have, because the laptop didn't speak, so I had to have this in-text talker, which was another big box, and I had to find out, I didn't even have the how to program that, so I had to go to the library and get an old magazine that had some how to program this in-text talker. Put this all together, mapped out the campus at Carleton University. And this is the midwinter, okay? So we're talking snowbanks and everything else. I'm walking around with this big, huge antenna on my back, walking around, and then had a video camera crew with me, and I'd get to an intersection, and I'd press a button, and it would say, you're now at the corner of, or it actually sounded like, you're at the corner of Campus Avenue, you know, and University Drive. So, and that was the first system. And from that, Visuaid in Canada saw some articles, because there was a lot of press written about this being the first device for the blind to navigate. And they picked me up. I went and did a feasibility study in Montreal for the summer. And they were connected up with Arkenstone at the time. And so they flew me down after the feasibility study proved that there's definitely a market for this. Flew me down to California, where I spent 6 months down here at Arkenstone and built the first prototype, which was called Atlas Speaks and Strider. Okay? So I was the co-inventor of that product. So, we have now Atlas Speaks, which is, just give you an idea for some of you that don't know what that is. It's basically it's for the PC. It's a talking map that you can virtually explore the map and create routes by going point to point. And it was limited like to 5 miles, I think, that was the biggest route it could create from start to finish. So there was no such thing as a pedestrian versus vehicle route. It just, you know, it was very dumb in the way that it figured out its routes. As long as it connected between point A and point B, that's the way you went. And then, so Arkenstone marketed Atlas Speaks, and Strider, the GPS product for a portable solution, Arkenstone never really got out the door. There was some legal issues on the lawyers wanted us to pay lots of insurance in order to, in case people sued us. So there's a lot of issues there that prevented us from going to market at that time. And also selective availability at that point wasn't turned off yet, so the accuracy was still 300 feet, and so that, unless you had differential, and a lot of, basically we decided that wasn't going to be an option for us. So what came about that was Sendero Group basically spun off. Mike May was the leader of the project, along with myself, and we spun off Sendero Group from Arkenstone and took all of the GPS technology. And from that, the first true portable GPS tracking system for the blind was developed by Sendero Group called GPS Talk. And we sold that for a year or two before, again, legal costs of holding the amount of insurance that we needed to satisfy the lawyers. It was costing us over $5,000 a year in just insurance. So, again, we'd have to sell a lot of units just to break even just for that, let alone not talking about the maps and everything else that costs money for this project. So we had to shelve that unit, that project, and that was on a 16-bit Windows, you know, 95 and 98 that it would run on. We really wanted to go to a more portable system. And that's when we hooked up with Pulse Data, Humanware at the time, and created the BrailleNote GPS. Okay, where am I now? Okay, I just want to stress that the GPS product that we're building is for an orientation tool. It's not really designed for mobility. You need your mobility skills, you need your cane, you need your dog to keep you safe, to keep you on the sidewalk. GPS solution is not going to do that. Basically, the GPS solution is going to just broaden your horizons, make you aware of what's around you, but it's still up to you to guide yourself to get there. We just sort of give you clues on what's around you, and you can figure out your best way of getting there safely. So the BrailleNote PDA is a Windows CE device, and that's a 32-bit operating system. And the BrailleNote has, you know, it's a complete personal assistant for the visually impaired. If you, the PacMate is another, the Freedom Scientific version of it. Pulse Data has a BrailleNote. And actually, just out of curiosity, how many BrailleNote users are in the audience? Let's say about a quarter. Okay, and of you, any GPS users? Wow, not bad. Not bad. Around 10 of you. Great. Yeah, I wish I had that. I wish I could. Now, let me give you a rundown of the history of the BrailleNote GPS solution. Version 1 wasn't created by myself. Version 1 was created at Pulse Data in New Zealand. It didn't have maps. It had less than a million points of interest. And the only thing you could do with routes is create a route manually. Version 2 came along, and this is when I got on board. And Sendero Group and Pulse Data at that time took over the project, because it was sort of an internal thing at that point. And, well, actually, no. Mike had relations with Pulse Data at that time, but he found it very frustrating dealing with someone so far away in New Zealand and working at their time schedule. They don't have sort of the same idea of getting things done in a timely manner. It's more laid back there. So getting new features and stuff was like pulling teeth, Mike was telling me. So they flew me down to New Zealand to figure out how to teach me how to program on this device, and that was really cool. I really enjoyed my time there. I was there for about a week, and we toured around New Zealand, which was really cool. So they really made me feel a real welcome there, so I really appreciated that. And so version 2 came along, and I worked on it for about 6 months. At this point, we added maps. We added automatically created routes, pedestrian and vehicle routes. So if you're in a taxi or someone's driving you somewhere, you can create a vehicle route that will obey the rules of the road. It will take you onto freeways, basically trying to find you the fastest, shortest distance to get to your destination. And it tries to use freeways when applicable. And then pedestrian route finding is, it doesn't really take into consideration the rules of the road. Like, you will be able to go the wrong way down a one-way street. Who do you guys care? You're walking down, you don't care. It's two ways. You can go this way or that way. I don't care, you know. But don't take me up a ramp to the freeway, you know. Okay? So that was version 2 of the GPS software. Version 3, we added look-around mode. And this is a really cool feature where you turn this on and it will automatically announce nearby points of interest as you walk by them. It'll tell you approaching intersections if you wanted to turn that on, your own user points of interest. Now all the GPS competitors out there are copying the stuff that we've been doing for 10 years. They're all like, oh yeah, and it has automatic look around mode. I'm like, well, we already had that quite a few years ago. And in version 3, not only the look around we added, the big other thing that we added was virtual explore mode, basically the same as Atlas Speaks. I finally had time to add that feature back in, so you can virtually explore the map without actually going there and walking it yourself, which is, you know, a great idea to get yourself oriented, before you get to a location like here in Vegas. It's great to be able to, like, oh, where's the hotel? And then just sort of hop in your virtual car and drive around and know what streets there are and what things, points of interest are around you and create your own routes from point A to point B, before you even get there. So once you're there, you're off and running and don't have to, you know, figure anything out. You can, on the airplane, you know, create your routes. So this is a great feature to the system is this virtual explore mode. Okay, version 3.3, which is the latest version that it's currently under test and under development, is adding, we also, just before I get to that, in version 3.1, I think it was, added ATMs, talking ATMs. We had a contract with banks, and we got in their database of talking ATMs, and we incorporated that into the Braille note. And we're working with bus companies to get their bus stops also incorporated into the system. So that is coming. That is coming. We have... it definitely has a lot of that information in it. If it has a bench, if it's... there's a lot of information available to us, and they have a quite detailed, if there's a shelter, all of that information is in their database, and now that's only the current ones. We have prototype cities in Portland, Oregon, and a few other places that we have these bus stops. We're trying to get it nationwide, but we have to go to each city pretty much. So we're constantly asking these companies that are people that know where this data is that we can grab, tell us. You know, if you have a contact at a person in transportation at a specific city, give us that information, give us that contact, and then we'll be able to make your city accessible for these bus stops. So that's where we're going with that. Version 3.3, one of the new features in this is enhanced manual route creation. If you don't have a map, let's say you're in a campus situation that the streets in the campus are not mapped out, or we don't have a map. For instance, New Zealand, we don't have maps yet. We're trying to get them for the folks at Pulse Data. They've been bugging me for years. I think we might have a solution for them by the end of this year, but they don't have maps. And so in that case, the only way you can do it is through points of interest or create your own route manually. And before, you can only lay these breadcrumbs, and there was no turning information, like you're approaching a left-hand turn or a right-hand turn in your route. It was just, you know, the next one. Once you got there, you could figure out which way to turn, but it didn't tell you that this was a turn that you needed to turn onto a different street. The latest version now has the ability to, when you create a manual route, when you create one of these waypoints along your route, to specify if it's a straight or a left-hand turn or a right-hand turn, and it basically will help your experience when following that route back. The other major enhancement is we went from from less than a million points of interest to 12 million points of interest in this release. We got finally got a deal with our map company to license their points of interest at a reasonable price, and so then we're able to then give you this more enriched data. So this is incredible. We went from like 30 categories of points of interest to over 100. I think there's 108 categories. I think even some of the competitor products only have 60 different categories. And in future versions, we're going to have subcategories. So right now there's like a category called hotels. Well, in the next release coming up in the future, there will be the subcategories like, Holiday Inn hotels. So you can specify not only the category, but then subcategories to look for, rental cars. And then you have Avis and Hart, you know, all these other subcategories to really help narrow down your search, especially if you're getting way too much information. You're only looking for a specific thing. Now you'll have the ability to do that. Another neat new feature in this release that I just put in, previously you could either have in look around mode either all points of interest and intersections, or just all points of interest, or just a specific subcategory, like a category like restaurants. Well, now it's broken apart. You have when look around mode is turned on, you can have your points of interest, and you can have all or any specific point of interest, like restaurants, for example. You can also have independently turned on or off intersections for any one of those now, and user points of interest turned on or off. So now you can have your user point of interest on automatically, and the upcoming intersections and restaurants, for example. So all these things will now trigger as you're walking down the street. So that was a neat new feature that just got put in. Another neat new thing that we're working on with points of interest is complex intersections. We have a university that's working on us on this wayfinding grant that Sendero got a few years back. Is going out and describing intersections that are pretty complex, like there's an island in the middle of the street that has a curb cut in the middle of it, and then it veers to the left, this crosswalk. They're going to have, you know, this is not right now, but this is what we're working on, and it will have, these points of interest will be in our database. So when you approach one of these, then you can figure out, then they'll be describing how to get from the northwest to the, you know, to the southwest corner, and all the different 8 different possible combinations to explain, and you'd figure out based on your location which one you're trying to get to from, you know, which street you're trying to cross. So this is, and it'll be very detailed. And that'll be one of the look around modes that you can turn on, complex intersections. So when you come up to one of these, it will trigger, and then you can ask for more information, and it'll help guide you across the street, or you'll know what to expect when you're going to cross the street. That, oh, is there an island or no? Or maybe it's a roundabout. So this is some of the neat new things that we're working on. All right, now what I'm going to do is explain the process of how we developed this system. Some of you asked me to sort of elaborate on the process of creating a new version of Braille Note GPS. I also want to talk about off-the-shelf versus self-voicing application. We have ours is a self-voicing application written specifically for the Braille Note. Other companies, Freedom Scientific, they have a product that was just released, but it's really an off-the-shelf product that they made talk using their software, using JAWS and JAWS scripts. But it's really oriented for a visual market, and they just made it work. There's also cell phone technology that's out called the Wayfinder, and that uses talks to speak, another visually oriented tool for navigating using cell phone technology. Trekker is a great solution for an iPack. It's also that's a self-voicing application, but that's the only application that is talking on that machine. So you don't have the word processor and everything else, but it's a nice small solution. You get limited maps, but you know, that's definitely a market for them. One thing, and I'm gonna give this demonstration, is we're working with a company called Talking Lights, and this is a drop-in replacement for fluorescent lights that will transmit optically signal to a device. And this is going to be used for indoor navigation, and Sendero Group actually is demonstrating this next week. We have an indoor PNM personal navigation module that's inertial. It will track you indoors, but it has some error. After 100 feet, it's off by about 15 feet. But what these lights will do is, as soon as you walk underneath it, will zero out your error and keep you always informed of where you are. So I'm just going to give a quick demonstration here.
GPS detected an error.
Now that two bing bing you heard, it just detected a talking light. And when I ask for nearest points of interest,
points found near back door of conference room.
Now I'm going to walk over, and I'll walk over to this corner over here, and I'm walking over here, and then all of a sudden, as soon as I get in front of the, it just beeped at me. Now I'm going to ask where I am.
Indoor, 2 points found near far corner of room.
So this is where we're heading, folks. The technology is here. We're demonstrating it. We're going to have 8 blind pedestrians at Benetech that's going to walk around Benetech, the offices of Benetech, and we'll follow routes, and we're going to show how GPS can be, our indoor navigation can be used with these talking lights to zero out your error and help, you know, the theory is that it'll be a faster time to, when you use the recentering, to know exactly where you are. But anyway, that's my speech. Hope you enjoyed it.